Welcome to the podcast of Life Change Church, where we exist to love people to life change. We hope that this podcast is both challenging and encouraging to you. Enjoy the message.
Welcome to Life Change Church, and we are excited you're here today. Before we jump into the message, I do want to give you just a couple quick announcements. One is our Life Change at Velvet next week. We are going to Velvet Ice Cream this next Sunday. We're only going to have one service, a 10:30 service, where we are going to do baptisms in the river. It's going to be a blast. So we'll have a short worship time, and then we're going to kind of learn about baptisms, hear some incredible testimonies from the 10 people who have decided to get baptized so far. And if you're one of those people that have made a decision to follow Jesus but have never been baptized, you've still time. We can still get you baptized next week, but that's 10:30 at Velvet Ice Cream next week. And then after that, we are doing a church picnic. So bring your favorite dish to share with others. The church is providing like paperware and drinks, but bring a dish to share with others. So that's next week. So if you come here, if you're a 9 o'clock service and you come here at 9, you will notice that nobody will be here. So it could be a quick reminder. You can get up there early and help set up if that's what you want to do. And there is a sign-up sheet for setting up on that back connect desk as well. But hey, today we have the incredible honor to hear from one of my good friends, Gary Fowle. Now, he spoke a couple times here before, and just incredible. He's actually the director of the Church Multiplication Network, which is a network that actually helped us launch. And he actually was the executive director at C3 Church, which is another church that helped us launch as well. But he's just been an incredible kind of mentor of mine, somebody I could go to, and just been an incredible part of my life. So I'm excited for him to share a little bit of his story, because he actually has quite a big transition going on as well. So if you would, let's welcome Gary Fowle.
I really do appreciate just the trust that Corbin gives me every time I come. I feel like I just throw something out there, mess something up, and then Corbin's about to clean it up. Thank you so much for, again, trusting me. This is actually the final stop, the final opportunity that I'll get to speak in another church in the current position, because I am, as Corbin said, I'm transitioning to another position. So as you look at that family, you'll notice two things. One is, that's three beers. So that picture was taken in October. This was an idea of the November thing. Get my youngest daughter, Reagan, there in the little teal shorts and white shirt. I just want her to stay young. Many other parents just want your kids to stay young. Amen. So my oldest daughter there, she's now 21 years old, and she's in Minnesota at North Central College. And it just went too fast. And then I've got my little redhead, and she's just growing. And I just want the little one to stay young for so long. And my wife, who is there, she likes their hair to grow really long. And I just want her to cut her hair and be short, the littlest one. Because I think she just looks younger. And I keep telling her, baby, cut your hair. She's like, no, I'm not cutting my hair. I like it long. And then one day out of nowhere, she saw this guy with a really great beard. And she says, Dad, I want you to do that. I said, no, mommy doesn't like beard. Maybe a 5 o'clock shadow. But mommy doesn't like facial hair. I really care more about her than even yours. So I'm not going to grow a beard. And she said, you grow a beard, I'll cut my hair. So here I am, and this is about 8 months into it. And she has since cut her hair, and I just think, man, isn't it crazy how fast it goes? But isn't that kind of what makes up our story? What we do with the time while we're in it, instead of looking back on it and hoping we would have done something else. So I may regret this beard in the future, but right now I just really don't even care. And it's in that place where some guys look at it and say, yeah, good try. Some guys look at it and say, man, I wish. So I'm in probably that spot in the middle there, but it's fun. But this is a family in transition. And that is not just part of our story, but we are writing this part of our story, that we are in a season of transition. As Corbin said, I'm leaving this position, and I'm going to be going to the Cleveland area. Now, let me just say this. We weren't looking for a job, and we definitely do not want to move. But then God comes in and says, hey, here's an opportunity I want you to take, and it's in this place. And it took us a season of time, and I'm going to unpack a little bit of that throughout this message of just kind of how we landed to where we got to a place where we said, we know this is of God. And yesterday we had actually our going away party, which I hate because I hate being like the center of attention. It's like this surprise party. You walk in and you're just like, oh, great. Now I got to talk to all these people. And they're all here to see you, so you feel rude if you're not doing it. So yesterday was our going away party, and it's like, man, I just don't even want to do this. And I don't want to say goodbye. B, I'm going to offend somebody by not talking to them. And then I don't ever want to get into that place of noticing who wasn't there. Let's hope something was there. So I said in my mind, I'm going to go into this, and I'm going to ask anybody to walk through that door, they have been part of it the last 11 and a half years. So it gets me really emotional just thinking people actually show up for this thing. And I said, every time I talk to somebody, I'm just going to say the one and fond memory that I have of this person. And that kind of just reset my attitude through this whole thing. And as I'm driving here, I thought, man, I've got some really fond memories. I've shared some of the embarrassing stories that Corbin and I have from the golf cart, the spandex, and all that stuff that you can ask for those that haven't heard of. But I thought, what is the memory I have of Life Change Church? And man, I'm so proud of you. For you that are in this room, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for believing in a vision that your pastor has. Thank you for supporting your pastor and his family. Because I love this family and I love this church. And I'm so proud to see, because I had the privilege of actually hearing Corbin at one point say, I think I'm done with ministry. All the way to the place where like, yeah, I feel like God's stirring something in my heart. Then it goes to, yeah, God's stirring that same thing in Sarah's heart. And I was like, oh boy, you know it's all now. And then he said, we've already got the name of our church. Then he said, we've already got the place. And to see it birth. So I got to hear the story from not going to do it, to I'm thinking about doing it, to I'm going to do it, here we go, here we are, two services. I mean, this is really an incredible thing. So I will always have this place. And I thank you so much just for saying that I'm some small part of helping see this happen. When all I kept doing was just saying, Corbin, what do you feel like God would need you to do? And this is the birth of what he feels. This is the story. So that story has so many different stops along the way. And I want to share part of the story today, but I want to do it through the lens of Acts 27. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to turn to Acts 27. I'm going to read some of the scripture and I'm going to unpack it. But basically, the background of the story is Paul and several other prisoners they're getting on this boat and they're going to be going to Rome. Just because they're prisoners, that's where their next stop is. And Paul, because of his relationship with the Lord, he knows that this is not going to be it's not going to be a real fun journey. He knows that this is not going to be one of those trips that you volunteer to take. And he pretty much tried to warn them that, guys, I'm not sure that this is the best plan, but they said we're doing it anyway. So Paul decides that he's going to say he's going on this trip, but he knows that God will. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to realize, that no matter what journey we take, if we're confident that God is with us, it makes it not necessarily more bearable, because we don't always feel like we're in the center of God's will when circumstances don't go our way. But that makes for such a great part of the story. Isn't it crazy that your story right now can just be kind of cruise control? You're just going along right now, and you just feel like life's great, and then all of a sudden, bam! And you just get the wind knocked out. Yesterday was actually the one-year anniversary of my dad getting a prognosis that you have 3 months to live. He's still alive today. 1 year ago, he was told he has 3 months to live because he has stage 4 lung cancer. It's outside the lungs, it's in his hip, whatever. And I didn't even know that. I looked on Facebook, my mom posted that. Today's my mom's birthday, so she said yesterday was the one-year anniversary that my husband got a diagnosis of cancer with a prognosis of 3 months to live. I'm like, nobody ever told me the prognosis was he had 3 months to live. I didn't know that. And now here he is 1 year later, and it feels great. We're just praying for a total healing. So this story that I'm sharing with you is really only starting about a year ago, but it's like every day, hey, things are great, and all of a sudden you just, boom, and you just get hit, and you're brought to your knees. And so this is part of that story. So let's pick it up and read. Acts 27, starting with verse 27. Again, this is Paul and about 276, I think, people on this ship. And it starts, it says, on the 14th night, we were still being driven across the Adriatic Sea when about midnight, the sailors sensed they were approaching land. So there's a storm going on. They took soundings. Pretty much they can do the depth finding. They can just kind of see how deep it feels here and then how deep it feels here. So they took some depth findings. And then they decided that it was about 90 feet deep. Fearing that they would be dashed against the rock, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. So they were thinking, all right, we're in a bad spot here. It's getting more shallow. Let's just drop anchor right here and see what happens. In an attempt to escape, so isn't it true that once we're in a storm, we just want to escape the storm? So, an attempt to escape, the sailor said, let's let down the lifeboat in this deep, and pretending they were going to lower the anchors down from above, the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion, so Paul knows what's going on. He says, hey, unless we're all with the ship, this is not going to end well. You can't even be saved. So the soldiers cut the ropes of the lifeboat and let them drift away. How many know that when you're in a storm, lifeboat's pretty important? But the centurions were like, no, we're all staying together, and if we don't, this isn't going to end well. And so they cut the lifeboats, and that's a pretty significant part of what we're going to talk about. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense. Now think about that, just 14 days, it's a storm, and you're not even thinking about eating because things are so crazy in your lives right now. For 14 days, you've been in constant suspense, you've gone without food, you haven't eaten anything. I urge you, take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a hair on your head. So Paul's trying to comfort them in the midst of this storm. After that, he gave thanks to God in front of all of them. He broke bread and gave it to them. They were encouraged by the food they ate. And then they just threw all the rest of it overboard. They're like, that's just too much weight. We're just going to get rid of it. Look down at 39. When daylight came, they didn't recognize the land, but they saw a bay with sandy beach where they decided to run the ship aground if they could, cutting loose the anchors. So now they don't have anchors. They don't have a lifeboat. They're just going for it. And we don't know what that is, but we're going for it. They hoisted the sail and headed toward the beach, but before they could get to their destination, bang! They hit a sandbar, ran aground. The bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken in pieces, the pounding was served. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners. Now here's what happens in the other time. If you're tasked to take a prisoner from one place to another and it doesn't happen, you lose the prisoner, they kill you. So the soldiers are like, we're about to lose all of these prisoners that were entrusted to us. So if we're going to lose them, we're going to lose our lives. We might as well just end it all right now. So the soldiers planned to kill the prisoners, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life. He's like, I don't want to kill this guy, so I'm just going to spare them all. He ordered those who could swim, he said, jump overboard, you that can swim, and get to the land. The rest of you, find a broken piece, find a plank, grab that, and then this way, everybody reached land safely. Now, if you knew how this story was going to end, would you have even gotten on that boat? Probably not. If you knew how the situation was going to end, or that you were about to enter into a season of a storm, would you have even said, all right, Lord, I'm ready, or would you just say, no, send me a different way? Because this season of life for me just really kind of feels like a shipwreck. I feel like I see a destination, and then I get run into a sandbar, I get knocked to my feet, I get knocked to my knees, I get the wind knocked out of me, whatever that is. And it just feels like, when is this thing going to end? And many of you have even a worse shipwreck story than I do. Many of you now have a greater testimony as a result of the shipwreck story than you went in. And I feel like this is what's crazy, is this message, this template that I'm talking from today, I started this about a year ago, and I just kind of had some thoughts and jotted them down, and I had an outline, but I never really put the meat to it until this season, until now, until Corbin gave me the opportunity to speak here and share the story. I'm like, that's the story. That's the story. It's a shipwreck. So I finally put some meat to this because I wasn't looking for a new job. My baby still doesn't want to move. The wife and kids are sad, you know, everything seems to be, but we're moving along and everything seems to be falling into place perfectly. We finally get the housing contract. You know, this is the seller's market, so we're like, man, we're going to put this house on the market. It's going to be probably a billion more, and it's going to be in contract the day of. We have now had this house fall through three times. We got to go. We got to move. We are leaving whether this house sells or not. At least that's what I'm thinking. But I can't afford to move and keep a house payment. So the house, the first time, finally goes into contract, and then I go into the hospital. And I don't feel like I'm a high-stress guy, but I had some stomach issues that were just going on, and it knocked me to my knees. Now, normally my stress outlet is training for triathlons and things like that, but about a month before this, I blow out my calf, so I can't even train. So I don't have this outlet of stress, so I'm not training, I'm not eating right, I'm just now miserable because we're going into this contract, I end up in a hospital. Anybody ever had an NG tube? You know what that is? Oh, sweet Jesus, I wouldn't wish that on you. That's where they just jam this tube up your nose and it goes down your throat and your reflex is just gag. But it just keep going, and finally it reaches like your intestines, and it's like, who thought of this? And why would you do this? So the pain of tube ended up being worse than the pain that I went in with. I'm like, can we just forget the whole thing? I've been on a shipwreck. And I'm just like, what is going on here? So then I'm in the hospital, the house falls out of contract the first time. Now my wife is trying to get to the hospital and then run the kids around and get the house ready to sell. We can't mess anything up because we got to show the house. It's an absolute disaster. And then the house falls through again. So I finally get out of the hospital. My now future boss calls me and says, hey, I was going to tell you this last week, but you were in the hospital, but they found a mass in my bladder. And it turns out that it was cancerous. It got in the stomach lining, but it's not in the muscles. So they treat it with chemo. So now he's on this journey. Find out another guy that I'm going to be working with in 2002 had cancer pretty good and had been not anything reoccurring since then, but they just found an abnormality on him. And it's like, what is going on? This is crazy. So we put the house back on the market. My wife's like, are we sure we want to go to this thing? And this house keeps falling through. Is this just, maybe we should stay? Two of your bosses possibly have cancer. I mean, really, is this a good idea? And we're like, no. If we feel like it's where God's calling us to go, then we're going. We're moving forward. The house gets back into contract, in negotiation for 7 days, falls through again. But now they want us to spend $1,000 on the radar protection, and now it sets us back 2 more weeks, so we're frustrated. Get in contract again, and they just walk away during the remedy phase because I said, I don't have time to fix it. I'll just give you the money to fix it. And they're like, no, we don't want to fix anything. We just want to move in ready. So now the house has probably been on the market like 4 days total before it's been in contract, but the listing said like 30 days. So now it says in and out of contract so many times, on the market 30 days. So we start getting these low ball offers. It's like, no, what is happening here? In the midst of all that, my daughter, who's in Minnesota, has to fly back because there was a death in her family and she has to take care of some legal issue. So I got to figure out all that, how to get her back. It's just an absolute train wreck. And then, of course, in all this, you have to have car maintenance problems, right? So we've got a 2003 van that starts to kind of go and have its own issues. It gets to the place where he's like, is this all going to work? And I just want to stand here today and say, it is. It is all worth it. Because this is my story. But I'll tell you something that has happened so many years ago. My grandmother used to drag me to church. And one of my favorite songs that she used to sing was that Blessed Assurance. And what does it say? This is my story, but this is my song. Praising my Savior all day long. So even if that's all we can do is go back to the place where we say, Jesus, thank you for saving me. Thank you for that gift of salvation. What's the Bible say? Return to the joy of your salvation. There wasn't much joy in my life because I wasn't thinking about my salvation. I was thinking about my physical health. I was thinking about sales. I was thinking about details. It's all worth it. So I want to share with you today 4 shipwreck survival strategies. And I'm going to throw these to you out there. And maybe you're not in a storm right now. But maybe you're getting ready to be in one. Maybe you're coming out of one. You can best prepare for this. So the first thing I want to encourage you to do is, this is number one, stay with the ship. You think about it, these soldiers, they could have, what did it say? The soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it drift away. They're saying, there is no other option. We're not jumping ship. This is what we're called to do. This is the direction we're going. There is no safety net to this trapeze out. I remember about 11 and a half years ago when we started C3 Church, we jokingly said, let's just call this No Plan B. Let's call this whole church No Plan B. Because guess what? If it didn't work, we had no idea what we were going to do. We cut the lifeboats. We said, Lord, this is the path you put us on. This is what you're calling us to do. We're going for it. We don't want a safety net. I don't have a backup plan if this whole legal thing don't work out. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to stay with the ship that I feel God put me in, and I'm going to ride this wave until he tells me to stop. Even if he shipwrecks it, it doesn't mean that he's done. It just means that it's shipwrecked. It just means that maybe I got to go a different direction with a different plan. I don't know. But I heard, if this isn't a country song, it should be. I think it might be. But I love the statement, and I think they spoke it at men's conference. The guy said, if you're going through hell, keep going. Why sit there? Why just stop and just, oh, Lord, why be? Well, you're still in the middle of it. Just keep going. If you're going through hell, keep going. If you're going through a storm, stay with the ship. Dr. Charles Stanley said this, and I love it. God is 100% responsible for the consequences of my obedience. I'm responsible for the consequences of my disobedience, but God is 100% responsible for the consequences of my obedience. Lord, if I'm doing what you call me to do, this is on you. I'm just being obedient to that. Psalm 37:23 says, the steps of the righteous are ordered. You think about that statement for a second. It's ordered by the Lord. That if I am, what's my responsibility in that? To be in a right standing relationship with God. That's it. Because if I am in a right standing relationship with God, those steps are already ordered. All I got to do is follow those steps. The steps of the righteous are ordered. If we honestly believe this verse, the only responsibility that we have is to stay in a right standing relationship with God. The rest of it, totally up to Him. It's easy to question the destination when you're met with opposition. So I encourage you today, stay with the ship. That's number one. Second one, be still and chill. Just chill out. Just be still. Just hold on. What's it say in verse 33? It says, before dawn, Paul urged them to eat because the last 14 days they weren't. You know what happens when we go through a storm? We don't think about health. We don't think about ourselves. We're just in survival mode. But sometimes the most spiritual thing we can do is rest. Just relax. Take a deep breath. Because you got the breath knocked out of you. Just relax. A storm in a storm doesn't mean out of control. Just because you're in a storm doesn't mean our lives should be out of control. Take some time off. Take care of yourself. Take a vacation that you've been neglecting. You know, take it to get healthy. If you're no good, you're no good. So get healthy. Worry and stress do nothing productive. Believe me, it put me in the hospital. It does nothing productive. It just sets it back. Stop panicking. Sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Some of you are going to be real spiritual today. Some of you are doing it right now. Thank you. I think you're taking a nap. You need to be spiritual. My hospital journey could have been totally avoided if I would have just slowed down and thought, all right, Lord, if this is of you, I'm just going to stay in a right standing relationship, and you've got my path ordered. So Psalm 36:10 says, be still and know that I am God. When we get the bad news about the house falling out again, it took the wind right out of me. When we get the news that dad's in stage 4 cancer, it put me on my knees. And I didn't share this part of the story, but about 12 years ago, we had a daughter that died. Man, that is one of those things that is just going to break you down. What can you do? All you can do, you just rest, and you rest in the Lord, and you find His comfort, and you find His peace when you're still. Because sometimes, I love to say, the devil can't make you bad. He's just going to make you busy. The best thing you can do is relax. Calm down. Be still and chill. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. On my way, in the midst of all this storm, I was on my way to speak at another church, I think 2 weeks ago. Stop at Chipotle. Sitting there, I noticed this young family, husband and wife, this beautiful little girl, maybe 2 years old. And I'm just sitting there by myself, and I just look down at that little girl, kind of thinking, oh man, I remember when my kids were that age and how fast that went. Just then I looked up, and this lady, the wife, the mom, is leaning over saying, hi, my name is Kristen. Can I ask you a question? I said, absolutely. She says, do you know Jesus? And I said, I do. Thank you for asking. And then she got this puzzled look on her face. And I said, well, is there any particular reason that you asked me that question? She's like, I just feel like He told me to. But I don't understand why He has me ask people that already know Him. And I said, well, honey, can I encourage you? I said, thank you for first of all, hearing the voice of God. Thank you for being obedient to the voice of God. Thank you for your courage. Thank you for your boldness, because I'm not that bold. I said, I tell people about Jesus, but guess what? There's a gathering. And they're already here knowing what they're going to hear. So I stand up and present. I get an easy audience. What you're doing is tough. And she says, well, maybe that's why He has me do this kind of stuff, because I just sometimes need that encouragement. She said, because a lot of times when I ask people, I don't get really nice answers. And I said, thank you again for your obedience. And I just pray that God would continue to give you the courage and the encouragement to keep getting His name out there. And I felt like, man, I just did something good. Lord, you had her ask me because I needed to encourage her, and you knew I would do it. But I couldn't get that question out of my mind. Do you know Jesus? And I'm like, Lord. Then I started praying about it because I thought, man, I just can't get that question out of my mind. Lord, why did you do that? That simple question. Do you know Jesus? And I'm like, but Lord, I know you. Yeah, you know me as your Savior. But do you know me when your house falls through the contract 3 times? You know me as the answer for sin. You know me as the eternal Heavenly Father. But do you know me when you're having stomach issues? Do you know me when your marriage is falling apart? Do you know me when your kids are rebelling? Do you know Jesus in the circumstances? Do you know Jesus in the storm? Do you know Jesus in your finances? That question started to really rattle me. Because now when I get in a situation, I think of that lady leaning over saying, "Do you know Jesus?" And I'm thinking, do I really know Jesus in this storm? Do I know Jesus in the shipwreck? Do I know Jesus in the cancer? Do I know Jesus in all of these situations? Do I really know Jesus in my daily walk? That simple question messed me up. Do you know Jesus? Because if you do, you will have peace. You will have love and joy and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Because that's who Jesus is. But if I'm not experiencing those things, do you know Jesus? Do I know Jesus? So be encouraged. That's what he said. So just be encouraged. And he said they knew. And be encouraged and know that he is God. And be still. And just ask yourself, do I really know Jesus in this situation? Do I know him more than just my Heavenly Father? So stay with the ship, be still and chill, and praise God in the storm. That's number three. After he said this, verse 35. After he said this, took some bread, gave thanks, and in front of all of them, they began to eat. In a storm doesn't mean out of his will. This is going on, maybe this storm is going on in my life because I need to know Jesus in everyday circumstances. And I probably wouldn't get there on my own. If the plan that I had, and it was a really great plan, I'll tell you that, it was a great plan. If it would have gone, then I would have just thought, I did it. But my plan was totally derailed. Because now what I have to say, it's going to be done, he's going to have to do it. Totally derailed. So in a storm doesn't mean out of his will. And here's the thing, mature praise isn't thanking God when things are going good. Lord, can I praise you in the storm? Can I praise you in the cancer? Can I praise you in the finances? Can I praise you in the death? Can I praise you in the argument? Can I praise you when I'm driving in traffic? Can I praise you? Do you know Jesus? Do you know him in all this? Sometimes the only thing you can do is go back to the joy of your salvation. Lord, thank you. If you stirred my heart to say, I need what that person is talking about. Thank you for that person that showed up in Chipotle and asked me, do you know Jesus? How many people are going to be saved because of that one moment? How many people are going to be saved because of you? Because of me? Because of us? Do I really know Jesus? When we win, it's easy to praise, right? We're like, oh, the house sold in a day. It was a bidding war. We got what we asked for. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus, praise Jesus. House fell through three times. We're on our fourth contract. We might lose the land of the house that we're going to move. We might have to delay this. Can I praise Jesus in that? Because we always say, praise Jesus when it's going good. But when it's going bad, what do we say? Lord, where are you? Is he really just a God of circumstances? Is that the only way that we can feel his presence? One of the keys to surviving the storm is to praise in the storm. Don't let the storm silence your praise. Praise your way through the storm. I remember there was a guy, a missionary, Zach Mobius, Corbin might know him, he was in Laos. And he showed up and they told him, you will probably not see anybody come to know Jesus for a minimum of 5 years. That's how hard this ground is. And he's like, all right. And he was all in. He kept going and he was just inviting people over and just having a conversation, building a relationship. And one girl came to him and said, what is different about you? And he thought that she was a spy. He thought that he was going to get in trouble if he started talking about Jesus. So he didn't go there. And he says, well, why do you ask? She said, because I see something different in you. I see the way that you treat me and my family. I see the way you treat the strangers that you don't know. I see the way that you interact with your wife. I see the way that you talk to your kids. I see the way that you're generous with your money when you live in a place like this. I see these things. What is different about you? And this was a matter of like months. And he was told 5 years minimum to have a Jesus conversation. And here's this young lady saying, what is it about you that I'm seeing that's different? And he got to share Jesus with her in a matter of months. What if people were watching our lives? Would they say there's something different about you? Or would they say, you're just like everybody else? Does anything that we do even stand out? Does anyone look at us and say, whatever they got, I want it? Is there anything that they're seeing that they would even want?
Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? Can people look at your Facebook posts? Can people look at your social media? Can people look at the way you interact with your kids and your marriage and the way that you do your finances? Is there anything that people say that would make them feel like you really know Jesus? Are you praising God in the storm? Because that stands out when people praise God in the storm. I truly believe that Sunday morning messages are important, but Monday morning messages are critical. Sunday might be for you, but Monday is for those that don't know Jesus. Monday is for those that are not here. Sunday is you get refilled, you get refreshed, you recast the vision, you go out, and guess what? Do you know Jesus on Monday? Do you know him on Tuesday? Do you know him at a Wednesday staff meeting? So the three things so far. Stay with the ship, be still and chill, praise God in the storm. And number four, God can use broken pieces. Boy, if that's not refreshing and encouraging to somebody, I don't know what it is, because there is a lot of brokenness around us. But God can use broken pieces. Verse 41 said, the ship struck another sandbar and ran aground. They stuck broken pieces everywhere, pounding the surf. He can still use the broken pieces. He said, for those of you that can go swim. But for those of you who can't, grab a broken piece. It'll still get you there. When all you have is all you have, that's all he needs. Grab a broken piece and say, Lord, this is all I have left. And he's saying, great, that's all I need. I just need you to give it to me. Lord, my finances are broken. My family is broken. My kids are a mess. My emotional health. I've got unforgiveness. Broken. He's saying, fine. Grab it. Give it to me. And let me rebuild this thing the way I want. Your ship is breaking. Maybe you can't swim. All you can do is grab a broken piece and say, Lord, it's yours. I'm going to praise you through the storm. I'm staying with the ship. I'm going to praise you through it. I'm going to relax. And I'm just going to grab the only thing that I have left. And I'm going to keep going. God won't get you there on what it is. He'll get you there on what's left. Grab hold of it and keep going. Broken doesn't mean done. Broken doesn't mean finished. Broken doesn't mean not valuable. Broken simply means there's enough for God to continue to work. That's it. Broken just means there's still something left. That's all it means. When all you have is all you have, it's all he needs. So here's the four things. If you didn't write them down, here they are. Stay with the ship. Be still and chill. Praise God in the storm. And the good news is God can use broken pieces. Now, this is part of my story. But this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. There is a blessed assurance. That's what that song's talking about. Blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Do you know Jesus? Is he really yours? Is he yours in the storm? Is he yours when things are going great? Is he yours when the train wreck and the dumpster fire and the shipwreck, they all collide? Is he yours? Do you have that joy of your salvation? So real quick, that's the storm strategy, and I'm going to give you an acronym because I love acronyms. Here's a pre-storm strategy, and this is real quick. It's based on the verse James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and then everybody knows the rest of this verse. Resist the devil and he will flee. That's the part we recite. Resist the devil and he will flee. Resist the devil and he will flee. But there's a preliminary statement there. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. So here's your pre-storm strategy. If you're not in a storm, here's your daily walk right here. It's war, W-A-R. Because we know that this is not a battle between flesh and blood. We are in a spiritual battle every day. The war acronym is, Lord, I submit to you my will. I submit my authority and I submit my rights. That's the war. I submit my will, my authority, and my rights. And you can look at Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane going through all this. He didn't want to go. Lord, is there another way? Lord, God, I really don't know that this is what I want to do. Can we figure this thing out another way? But what did he say? I'm going to stay here until my will aligns with yours. I'm not asking you to align with mine. I'm saying, Lord, I submit my will to yours. We will be in alignment. Lord, any authority that I have on this earth is given by you. So I will walk in not any authority that I have, but I will walk in the authority that you gave me, and that's it. And Lord, I have no rights outside of what you have given me. So I submit my will to yours. I submit any authority that I have, and I'm walking in the authority and the confidence that Christ died for me to have. and any rights that I have, I submit them to you, that I have no right to open up that computer. I have no right to look at that finances a different way outside of biblical. I have no right to say that this is okay when your word says it's wrong. I don't have the right to gripe about the guy that just cut me off because I don't have then peace and love and joy and patience. I submit my will, I submit my authority, and I submit my rights because this is a war that you are in every day. John 15:5 says, I'm vine and branch. You abide in me, I will abide in you. Do you know Jesus? Do you know him every day? Because if he's truly abiding in you, you will have peace and love and joy and patience and kindness, and goodness and gentleness, faithfulness and self-control. So what part of that strategy are you struggling with? Staying committed to his plan, being still and refocusing on him, praising him through the storm. Sometimes you just got to trust that God has a plan, even if all the pieces are broken. So I just want to pray for you, and we're just going to dismiss you this morning, but I just want to say thank you so much for allowing me to just share part of my story. But I hope what you heard louder and clearer than anything is that this is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. Father, we love you. And Lord, I just thank you that you have given us your word, that you have given us a promise. That, Lord, we know that in this life we are going to have trials, we are going to have struggles, we are going to have temptations beyond what we can handle on our own. We know that your word says if we submit to you, then we can resist the devil. But he has to go, he has to run, he has to flee. Lord, there are those in this room right now that are in a storm, and it is a bad storm, and they don't know what to do. But, Lord, I pray that they would praise you in the storm. I pray that they would stay with the plan that you have called them to, the call that they have on their lives. I pray that they would refocus and just rest. And Lord, I pray that they would know that just because they might feel broken, that you're not done. Father, I pray that even right now we would submit our wills, our authorities, and our rights to you, that we would walk daily in the fullness and the freedom that Christ died for us to have. Because regardless, we are all going to have a story. But Father, I pray that we all have the same song. That's praising you all the day long. If people would look at us and they wouldn't have to ask, they would know. We know Jesus. Father, we love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you for listening to the Life Change Church podcast. If you are here today and you are listening and you made a decision to follow Christ, we would love to hear about it. Or maybe you're here and you're listening and that God is asking you to make the next step with whatever that it is in your life. We would love to hear about it and partner up with you. If you would, go to www.mylifechangechurch.com and under the media section, please fill out the contact us information and let us know if you made a decision to follow Christ. Let us know what God is asking of you. And if you need prayer, we would love to partner up with you in prayer as well. We hope that you enjoyed the podcast and that it both encouraged and challenged you. Have a great week.